Hello, my name is Mahendra Gupte. We are looking at Chapter 10, the Act of Environment Protection. The Water Prevention and Control of Pollution Act 1974, commonly known as the Water Act of 1974. The Act, effective since 1974, applies to select states and union territories, but can be adopted by others via resolution. Water Central Board and State Central Boards Constitution and functions. Every state has a state control board wherever this act has been adopted. Of course, there is a central board to guide the state boards as to how to go about with implementation and other aspects. The act creates two agencies to prevent water pollution: central board, central pollution control board. For the prevention and control of pollution of water, an act was enacted in 1974 and was made effective and has been effective since then. It applies to select states and union territories in the country, but can be adopted by others via resolution. The Water Board has got two boards, central and state boards, which are used to enact or enforce this act. The act creates two agencies to prevent water pollution control, water pollution. The central board, which is the central pollution for control board. What is the composition of this board? The constitution and composition, section 3. The central board, by its power established, the central pollution control board, the board is headed by a chairman with experience, knowledge from the field, 5 representatives, 5 nominations, 3 appointees, all of the central government, 2 representatives of government-owned companies, and 1 full-time secretary from the field. The functions of the central board: the board advises, coordinates, and promotes efforts to prevent water pollution. Let's understand the constitution and composition of the central pollution control board. The central government, by its power, established the central pollution control board. The board is headed by a chairman with experience in the field and knowledge from the field. Must have 5 representatives, 5 nominations, 3 appointees, all of the central government, 2 representatives of government-owned companies, and 1 full-time secretary who has experience in the field. Functions of central board under section 16 specify that the board advises, coordinates, and promotes efforts to prevent water pollution in all the states and the country as a whole. What is the composition, or what is the state board? The state government establishes the state pollution control board. Constitution and composition, which is specified under section 4. State governments establish a state pollution control board through a gazette notification. It includes a chairman with expertise, 5 appointees, 2 local authority members, 3 ministry nominees, 2 representatives from government-owned firms, and 1 full-time secretary. What are the functions of this board, state board? Plan programs, set effluent standards, promote reuse in agriculture, and establish testing labs. Well, as we understood, after the central government establishes the central control board, there is the state government, which constitutes or establish a state pollution control board through a gazette notification. It includes a chairman with expertise in the field, 5 appointees, 2 local authority members, 3 ministry nominees, 2 representatives from government-owned firms, and 1 full-time secretary. What are the functions of this board? These boards plan programs, set effluent standards, promote reuse in agriculture, and establish testing labs. The Act, the Water Act of 1974, also constituted a joint board. States of the central government and union territories can form joint boards through agreements. Composition of joint board under section 14. A joint board is led by a chairman and includes members from each state, state-owned companies, and a full-time secretary. So the Act, the Water Act of 1974, also constituted a joint board, or permits the constitution of a joint board, where the states or the central government and union territories can form joint boards through agreements. Composition of a joint board is specified under section 14. A joint board is led by a chairman and includes members from each state, state-owned companies, and a full-time secretary. How can these members be disqualified? Disqualification of members is disclosed under section 6. Section 6 disqualifies members for insolvency, unsound mind, conviction, salaried roles in related agencies, or misuse of position. Meetings of the board. Section 8 specifies how many times the board meets, requires quarterly reviews, with the chairman able to call emergency meetings. So let's understand, once we've understood the constitution of the boards, let's understand the qualification and disqualification of members. We also understood that most of the members are nominated or represented to the boards. Section 6 covers the disqualification of the members of these boards. So the members can be disqualified for insolvency, unsound mind, conviction, salaried roles in related agencies, or misuse of position. What is the structure for the meetings of the board? Section 8 requires quarterly reviews. However, the chairman can call an emergency meeting anytime. What is the constitution of the committees? Section 9 allows boards to form committees to oversee performance, meet anytime, and receive allowances. What are powers of central and center boards? Section 19 allows the state board to define and revise its jurisdiction using maps, reference lines, or district boundaries as needed. So let's understand the constitution of the committees, where section 9 covers this aspect, allows boards to form committees to oversee performance, meet at any time, and receive allowances. What are the powers of the central and state boards under the Water Act? Section 19 allows the state board to define and revise its jurisdiction using maps, reference lines, or district boundaries as needed. Section 20, boards can inspect and request information from companies. Boards can analyze water sources and restrict access to polluted areas. No industry or sewage operation without board approval. Boards can deny or review industry approvals and conditions. So, what are the detailed sections that cover each aspect? Section 22 says the boards can inspect and request information from companies, which means they can go down to any company suspected of water pollution or a complaint received against a company for investigation, can inspect and request information from such companies. Section 21, boards can analyze water sources and restrict access to polluted areas. So they can go ahead and analyze water from different sources, and if any source is considered to be harmful or is polluted, they can restrict access to such polluted areas. No industry or sewage operation can work without the board's approval, which means that every industry or sewage operation has to have board approval. Boards can deny or review industry approvals and conditions. If a industry is found to violate certain rules and regulations, they can review the approvals for that industry and can deny them further action. Powers of central and state boards. Central board follows central government directives. State board follows both central and state directives. Conflicts between state and central directives are resolved by the central government. In emergencies, the central government directs the central board to act in public interest. State board can recover related expenses from the central board. Emergency actions by the central board can guide future state board actions. What are the powers of the central and the state boards under the Water Act of 1974? Central board follows central government directives. State board follows both central and state directives. Conflicts between state and central directives are resolved by the central government. In emergencies, the central government directs the central board to act in public interest. State board can recover related expenses from the central board. Emergency actions by the central board guides the state boards for future actions whenever they may arise. The state government can limit the application of central board directives to specific areas by issuing a notification in the official gazette. Areas may be defined by maps, boundaries, or contamination levels, and the government can also modify or merge these areas for better control. Power to obtain information. The state board can survey and collect data from water bodies for its functions. The state government can limit the application of central board directives. So, which means once the state control board receives any directives from the central government, they to specific areas, they can restrict or limit the application depending on what is the area that is defined by maps, boundaries, or contamination levels, and the government can also modify or merge these areas for better control. Power to obtain information. The state board can survey and collect data from water bodies for its functions and ensuring that it is the water is good for use. The state board can request information from those extracting water or treating it with effluents. The state board can require information from establishments with treatment plants, water disposable equipment, or processing plants regarding effluents, equipment, and related details. The state board can request information from those extracting water or treating it with effluents, which means that if there is a company that is extracting water from a water body or treating it with effluents, that means releasing effluents into that water, the board can request information and are free to pick up samples from such companies. The state board can require information from establishments with treatment plants, water disposal equipment, or processing plants regarding effluents, equipment, and related details. So the state government has all the power to inquire and request for information from companies who have treatment plants, water disposable equipment, or processing plants regarding effluents, equipment, and related details. Power to take samples of effluents. The state board can collect samples from water bodies, sewage, and effluents for analysis. Sewage or effluent analysis results are inadmissible in legal proceedings unless the Act's provisions are followed. What does this mean? This means that the state government, state board can collect samples from water bodies, sewage, and effluents for analysis. Now, whether these effluents are already in the water body or they are being released from a company, the samples can be collected from either place. Sewage or effluent analysis results are inadmissible in legal proceedings unless the Act's provisions are followed, which means that after these samples have been taken and the results have been analyzed, they cannot be admitted in court unless the state board has followed the legal proceedings and the provisions under the Water Act of 1974. Penalties, non-compliance with board orders. What are the penalties? 3 months imprisonment, fine, or both. Non-compliance with other orders, 6 months to 6 years imprisonment, fine, or both. Removal or destruction of notices, obstruction of board members, failure to provide information or false information, maximum 3 months imprisonment, 10,000 fine, or both. Violating Section 24 provisions, 18 months to 6 years imprisonment and fine. Let us understand the different various penalties for non-compliance. Non-compliance with board orders, 3 months of imprisonment, fine, plus fine, or both. Non-compliance with other orders would mean 6 months to 6 years imprisonment with fine, or both. Removal of or destruction of notices that have been served, or obstruction of board members, or failure to provide information, or providing false information, maximum of 3 months imprisonment, 10,000 fine, or both. Violating Section 24 provisions, 18 months to 6 years of imprisonment and the fine. Penalty for contravention of Section 25 or Section 26. 18 months to 6 years imprisonment and fine, enhanced penalty after previous conviction, second offence after conviction under Section 24, 25 or 26, 2 to 7 years imprisonment and fine. No cognizance for offences committed over 2 years ago. Penalty for contravention of certain provisions of the Act. Violation of any provisions of the Act without a specified penalty as determined by the court. What are the other penalties for water pollution? Penalty for contravention of Section 25 or Section 26. 18 months to 6 years imprisonment along with a fine. Enhanced penalty for previous conviction, which means that if the company is a second time defaulter, then what happens? For the second offence, after conviction under Section 24, 25 or 26 previously, 2 to 7 years imprisonment and fine. No cognizance for offences committed over 2 years ago. Penalty for contravention of certain provisions of the Act. Violation of any provisions of the Act without a specified penalty. Penalty as determined by the court. Initial offence, up to 3 months imprisonment, 10,000 fine or both, 5,000 per day for continued offences. Publication of names of offenders, repeat offenders, court may publish conviction details, cost charged to the offender. What does this mean? This means that for the first initial offence, up to 3 months imprisonment with a 10,000 fine or both. However, if the offence continues, then the penalty is 5,000 rupees per day for all continued offences. The state board may also go ahead and may publish the conviction details and the name of the companies, and the cost of publication and publishment will be charged to the offender. If a company commits an offence, both the company and those in charge are deemed guilty and liable for punishment. Individuals may defend themselves by proving they were unaware of the offence or took all necessary steps to prevent it. If a director, manager or officer is responsible for an offence due to consent, neglect or connivance, they are also deemed guilty and liable for punishment. For this section, company refers to any corporate entity, including firms or associations of individuals. Director in a firm refers to partner within that firm. Let's understand what are the kind of punishments and penalties for a company. If a company commits an offence, both the company and those in charge are deemed guilty and liable for punishment. Individuals may defend themselves by proving they were unaware of the offence or took all necessary steps to prevent it. If a director, manager or officer is responsible for an offence due to consent, neglect or connivance, they are also deemed guilty and liable for punishment. For this section, the word company refers to any corporate entity, including firms or associations of individuals. A director in this case in a firm refers to a partner within that firm. Offences by government departments. If a government department commits an offence under this Act, the head of the department is liable unless they prove lack of knowledge and due diligence to prevent the offence. Exception: the department head is not guilty if they prove lack of knowledge and due diligence. So, what we see for the first time is that even government departments, if commit any offence under this Act, are liable for punishment. If a government department commits an offence under this Act, the head of the department is liable unless they prove the lack of knowledge and due diligence was done to try and prevent the offence. Exception: the department head in this case is not guilty if they prove lack of knowledge and due diligence was done to try and prevent the offence. Cognizance of offences. No court can take cognizance of an offence under this Act unless a complaint is made by a board member, authorized person or someone who has notified the board 60 plus days in advance. Offences under this Act can only be tried by a metropolitan magistrate or a judicial magistrate of the first class. The Board may withhold reports requested in complaints if it deems them against public interest. What offences are taken as cognizance? The Court can take cognizance of an offence under this Act unless a complaint is made by a Board member, which means that no court can take or admit a case of an offence under this Act unless a complaint is made by a Board member, authorized person, or someone who has notified the Board 60 days in advance. Offences under this Act can only be tried by a metropolitan magistrate or a judicial magistrate of the first class. The Board may withhold reports requested in complaints if it deems them against public interest, which means that if they realize that there are certain reports which could go against public interest, then the Board has the right to withhold such reports. A judicial or metropolitan magistrate can sentence imprisonment over 2 years or a fine exceeding 2,000 rupees for offences under this Act. Provision of Appeals, Section 28. Any person aggrieved by the State Board's decision can appeal to the designated appellate authority within 30 days as established by the State Government. What does this imply? A judicial or metropolitan magistrate, that is where this offences can be tried, can sentence an imprisonment over 2 years or a fine exceeding 2,000 for offences under this Act. There is also a provision of appeals under Section 28. Any person aggrieved by the State Board's decision can appeal to the designated appellate authority within 30 days as established by the State Government. The Water Prevention and Control of Pollution Act of 1974 was amended in 2024. The Amendment Bill of 2024 says, decriminalizes minor water pollution offenses, aligning penalties with offense severity to promote compliance without overburdening stakeholders. Empowers the central government to exempt certain industrial plants from restrictions, streamlining regulations and reducing the burden on agencies. In 2024, there has been an amendment to the Water Control and Pollution Act, Water Prevention and Control of Pollution Act, as amended in 2024. The Amendment Bill of 2024 states it decriminalizes minor water pollution offenses. That means it is no more a criminal offence for minor water pollution. Aligning penalties with offence severity to promote compliance without overburdening stakeholders. They have aligned penalties with offence severity, so if the offence is severe, the penalty is higher. To promote compliance without overburdening stakeholders. Empowers the central government to exempt certain industrial plants from restrictions, streamlining regulations and reducing the burden on agencies. So the amendment bill also empowers the central government to exempt certain industrial plants from restrictions, streamlining regulations and trying and reducing the burden on certain agencies. Enhances regulatory oversight and standardization across states. Empowers the central government to set guidelines for appointing chairpersons of state control boards and manage industry-related consents with fair, qualified procedures. The bill also enhances regulatory oversight and standardization across states, which means that you have the same kind of penalties and the same law against the bill, according to the amendment bill, across all the states. Empowers the central government to set guidelines for appointing chairpersons of the central control board, central pollution control boards, which means that the chairperson for the central pollution control board can now be appointed through the guidelines of the central government, and manage industry related consents with fair, qualified procedures. What do the critics say about the Amendment Bill of 2024? Critics say the bill centralizes power and lacks stringent measures for environmental issues. Critics worry the bill may reduce transparency in addressing water pollution issues. Relaxing regulations may compromise accountability and reduce transparency in environmental management. We have critics of the Amendment Bill of 2024 who have voiced their opinion, and they say the bill centralizes the power and lacks stringent measures for environmental issues. Critics worry the bill may reduce transparency in addressing water pollution issues. And the third point is relaxing regulations may compromise accountability and reduce transparency in environmental management. After we've seen what is the Water Act of 1974, let's look at the Air Act of 1981. The Air Prevention and Control of Pollution Act 1981 was enacted to control air pollution in India. Need for Air Prevention and Control of Pollution Act 1981. The UN Conference on the Human Environment in Stockholm of 1972 prompted global action to protect natural resources, including air quality. In response, India enacted the Air Prevention and Control of Air Pollution Act 1981 under Article 253 of its Constitution to address air pollution and safeguard air resources. We just now saw what all provisions are available in the Water Act of 1974. Let's look at the Air Act of 1981. This pertains to the air pollution in the country. The Air Prevention and Control of Pollution Act 1981 was enacted to control air pollution in India. What was the need for an Air Prevention and Control of Pollution Act? The UN Conference on the Human Environment in Stockholm in 1972 prompted global action to protect natural resources, including air quality. In response, India enacted the Air Prevention and Control of Air Pollution Act in 1981, 9 years after the prompted global action to protect natural resources at the Stockholm Conference. Under Article 253 of the Constitution of the Act, it addresses air pollution and safeguards air resources. The scope of the Air Prevention and Control of Pollution Act of 1981, or the Air Act of 1981, applies to all of India and defines air pollution, enabling the identification and punishment of polluters. Purpose of Air Prevention and Control of Pollution Act 1981. The Air Act of 1981 controls air pollution in India, establishing a board to manage emissions and protect health, with the government able to make additional regulations. What is the scope of the Air Pollution and Control of Pollution Act 1981? The Air Prevention and Control of Pollution Act 1981 applies to the whole of India and defines air pollution, enabling the identification and punishment of polluters. That means that it applies to the entire country, unlike the Water Act, and defines air pollution, enabling the identification and punishment of polluters. That means now, where air pollution has been defined, you can identify who is responsible for pollution and the polluters can be identified for punishment. The purpose was the Air Act of 1981 controls air pollution in India, establishing a board to manage emissions and protect health, with the government able to make additional regulations. What are the salient features of the Air Act of 1981? What is an air pollutant and what is air pollution? Section 2A defines air pollutant as any harmful substance, including noise pollution, affecting health and the environment. Section 2B defines air pollution as the presence of any air pollutant in the atmosphere. The Air Act of 1981, what are the salient features of this act? It defines what is air pollutant and what is air pollution. Air pollutant is any harmful substance, including noise pollution, affecting health and the environment. Section 2B defines air pollution as the presence of any air pollutant in the atmosphere. Further, Section 2F classifies boards under this Act into two categories, central and state boards. Section 2G defines the central board as the Central Pollution Control Board. Section 6, for union territories, the central board may act as a state board or delegate its power and functions. So the other provisions of the Act or the salient features of the Act is, Section 2 classifies boards under this Act into two categories, central and state boards. Under Section 2G, it defines the central board as the Central Pollution Control Board. Section 6, for union territories, the central board may act as a state board or delegate its powers and functions. Section 2O defines the state board as the State Pollution Control Board, applicable in states where the Water Prevention and Control of Pollution Act 1974 is in effect. It appeals to state where this act isn't implemented. The Water Prevention and Control of Pollution Act 1974 was selectively adopted by states, but this act covers the entire country. So Section 2O defines the state board as the State Pollution Control Board, applicable in states where the Water Act of 1974 is in effect. It appeals to other states where this act isn't implemented. The Water Act of 1974 was selectively adopted by states, but this act covers the entire country. Air Central and State Boards. Constitution and Functions. Constitution of the boards under Air Prevention and Control of Pollution Act 1981. Section 3 and Section 4 empower the central and state boards with specific powers and functions which they must exercise within the designated scope. What does the Air Act do? The Air Act of 1981 defines the central and state boards, their constitutions and functions. Section 3 and Section 4 empower the central and state boards with specific powers and functions which they must exercise within the designated scope. Constitution of Central Pollution Control Board. The Central Pollution Control Board, led by a chairman with field expertise, includes 5 government representatives, 5 nominations, 3 appointees, 2 representatives from government companies, and a full-time secretary. Constitution of the State Pollution Control Board. Section 5.2 outlines the state board's composition. A chairman with field experience, 5 state government representatives, 5 from local authorities, 3 from industries, and 2 from state-owned companies. The Air Act 1981, members' terms and conditions of services under the Air Act of 1981. Section 7, terms of service for members. Members, excluding the member secretary, serve a 3-year term, continuing until successors are appointed. Service ends if members hold relevant state government or corporate office. What are the terms and conditions of service for the members of these control boards under the Air Act of 1981? Section 7, terms of service for members. Members, excluding the member secretary, serve a 3-year term, continuing until successors are appointed. Service ends if members hold relevant state government or corporate office, which means that if a member of this board holds a relevant state or corporate office, his membership is considered as old, as closed. Members may resign by notifying the chairman, who informs the state government. Vacancies arise from resignations, absence from the consecutive board meetings without valid reasons, or job changes affecting eligibility. Vacancies are filled by fresh nominations for the remaining term. Members may be renominated. Members can resign from notifying the chairman who informs the state government. Vacancies arise from resignations, absence from 3 consecutive board meetings without valid reasons, or job changes affecting eligibility. We just saw that if any of these members hold government or corporate roles, then they cannot continue as members anymore. Vacancies are filled by fresh nominations for the remaining term, or the members can also be renominated. When are members disqualified? Disqualification of members. Section 8, disqualifications for state board membership. Disqualifications include bankruptcy, unsound mind, criminal record, or offenses under this act. Direct, indirect ownership or interest in business related to air quality or pollution control. So when can members of this state board get disqualified? The disqualification of members is covered under Section 8, disqualifications for state board membership. Disqualifications include bankruptcy, unsound mind, criminal record, or offenses under this act. Direct or indirect ownership or interest in businesses related to air quality or pollution control. Further, going ahead with disqualification of members, members holding office in a company with a contract with the board or government agency, misuse of power causing public harm. Disqualified members are removed by the state government with written notice and a chance to respond. Members removed under Section 7 and Section 7(6) cannot continue office or be renominated. Let's understand the disqualification of members further. Holding office in a company with a contract with the board or government agency. So, the member who is holding office in a company with a contract with the board or a government agency is considered disqualified. Misuse of power causing public harm. If any of the members misuses his power causing public harm, he can be disqualified. Disqualified members are removed by the state government with written notice and a chance to respond. However, members removed under Section 7, subsection 1 and Section 7, subsection 6 cannot continue office or cannot be renominated. Board meetings and committees under Air Pollution Act 1981. Section 10 says the board must meet quarterly. Emergency meetings can be called by the chairman. A summary of meetings is sent to the central board and state board, state government. Setting up of committees, Section 11 gives this power to the state board. The board can form committees comprising board members and others as needed. How many board meetings and how does the procedure work with committees under the Air Pollution Act of 1981? Section 10 covers the functioning of the board. The board must meet quarterly. Emergency meetings can be called by the chairman. A summary of meetings is sent to the central board and to the state government. Setting up of committees, the board can form committees comprising board members and others as required. Committees are formed to address specific tasks with rules for meetings. Non-board members may receive fees and allowances for attending and working. So when committees are formed by the state board to address special tasks with rules, for there are certain rules for meetings. Non-board members may receive some fees and allowances for attending and working as a committee member.